know, 20-something, however many it's been. What, Beth? 27, she says. I just quit counting. About God's word is seed, and we've talked about patience, I know, the last, I don't know, probably three services or whatever, and we're still talking about that this morning. But this morning I titled it, God's word is seed, patience, and. Sometimes you'll hear people say, faith is all you need. And I know what they mean by that. But how many knows, according to Scripture, faith is not all we need. There's grace that God gives us, but then we access the grace by faith. And then we'll get into some scriptures here in just a little bit that it talks about adding to our faith. So, trying to figure out, I got all these notes. I told Beth this morning, I said, sorry, Beth, I kind of look like Scotty, because usually my stuff is highlighted in different colors and all that. This was supposed to be my notes, then I write down my message from, but that's not how it went. So we're kind of all, I'm kind of all over the place trying to figure out where I want to go. I think let's go to James 1. I know this ain't what you got, Beth, but I just work here. Now, we have read these scriptures, I think, a few times in studying this. We're going to read them again this morning. Excuse me. James 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. We know Scotty says count it woohoo. When you fall into divers temptations. The word temptations there means tribulations, trials, tests, things like that. He says, knowing this. So we're supposed to know something when all these things comes up. He says that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. Now we know without patience you are not going to receive. Especially if you have to wait a while, right? It says in the book of Hebrews, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So God has given promises, but then it by grace, but then it takes faith to access that grace and those promises. But how many knows, every seed that you plant, you don't eat the fruit of it the next day. So you got to have patience to go along with that. And he says, the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. If you got faith, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. Most of the time, to the max. He goes on and he says, but let patience have her perfect work. If I got to let it, that means I can stop it, right? At any time. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now listen to that in the Amplified. He says, verse 2, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren. We know faith has joy, right? It says, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith, I believe it's 1 Peter talks about how that our faith is tried like it's purified in fire. It says, bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So we see here that if we don't let this patience work, even though we're born again, we have the promises of God, may have laid hold of some of those, but if we don't let it work, we're going to be a defect. We're going to have defects in us. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ever seen a baby with defects? I mean, it's born with, instead of 10 fingers, it's got 9. He says here, but if you'll let patience have its perfect work, if you'll stay with it, if you'll be steadfast, if you will endure until the end, you won't be lacking anything. Now, let's look at, I think I want to go to Romans 5. I talked about a few services ago how that we have to have mind renewal concerning trials, tests, tribulation. Everything is not the devil. Now, let's see. This week, I've had trials and tests. They was not the devil. How many know sometimes if you don't buy new tires and they get slick and what they call bald and you got wire showing, they just lose their air sometimes. The devil didn't come suck it out. Y'all come on now. Everything is not the devil. But how many knows there are times that it is him? And you better recognize him when he comes, because he's the one that we fight against. We don't fight against our cars and start damning our cars and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, the devil didn't get in my alternator. Y'all not saying nothing. But yet you'll hear people testify, the devil blowed out my tires while I wasn't here Wednesday night. Are you serious? We saw your tires Sunday when you was here. We know they was just about to the end of their rope. But then week before this week, talk about the devil. And I knew that it was him. So you got to learn how to spiritually discern, because different things, you have to do different things. When it's the devil, you have to take authority. You have to tell him what he's going to do and all that. Now, if it's not the devil and it's just circumstances and you ain't got the money for new tires, then you're going to have to believe God for new tires. It's not the devil, right? So we need to discern between the two. Verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Grace is what has given us all the promises. None of us deserve them, right? He says, wherein we stand. He says, and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in what? How many of y'all do that? I know why y'all laughing, same reason I'm laughing. But I'm trying to work on getting my mind renewed, because over there in James, what we just read, he said, know this. See, if you know, if you got a revelation on the inside that these things is coming at you, and if you respond the right way, they just take you higher, and a greater glory of God is revealed to you and through you, right? So he says there, he says, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Here we are again to patience. And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now listen to that in the Amplified. I'll just go ahead and start with verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him. Notice that. Through him, not in yourself. In yourself, you cannot obtain the promises of God. In your own strength, you cannot overcome your flesh. In your own strength, you cannot ensure the devil's defeat. Now, he's already defeated, because the Bible says Jesus stripped him, right? Him and all his cohorts, and made a show of them openly. But what he's an outlaw, and what he does is he comes and tries to enforce his will in our lives where he has no authority. But if you don't take authority, he will usurp authority. It says, through him, also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith, which we know that's trust, we know it's confidence, we know it's believing, into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice. Because why? There's faith there. Let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. You ain't gonna get everything out of this book. Y'all not saying nothing. You don't experience him. God said over in the book of Psalms, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If I can look at an apple, it can look good to me, it can smell good to me, but until I actually take a bite of it, I will not experience what that apple tastes like. How many knows it's the same thing with God? He goes on there and says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Verse 3, let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Oh, good Lord, I didn't just say that one, did I? You don't hear that word on TV preaching much. You got to get you a little Ron Carpenter, Jensen Franklin, or something going on, T.D. Jakes, before you start hearing about the sufferings. Now, this sufferings is not sickness and disease. You got people, they'll say, you know, God put this sickness or this disease on me, this cancer or something, to teach me something. That's totally unscriptural. The Bible says over there in the book of John, it says that the Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's our paraclete. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide, right? He's the one that takes of what is Jesus and reveals it unto us. Sickness and disease is not to teach me anything. And you hear people, you know, that they're so broke they can't pay their bills. They can't even hardly pay attention because they're so broke. You know, and say, God is teaching me something through this. Well, learn it and move on if it's teaching you. They're not saying nothing. With these people, they go year after year after year after year broke. And how many knows, if you go over there and you read Deuteronomy 28, he tells you the plans of God. He says, if you'll diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, all these blessings. Y'all read Deuteronomy 28? Maybe you need to go back and read it. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. He says over there in the latter part, though, he says, if you don't, he says, all these curses are going to come on you. All this poverty, all this lack, all this sickness, all this disease, none of your cows is going to have babies. They're all going to have miscarriage. Y'all read all that stuff? Well, how many knows the Bible says in Galatians, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, Jesus being made a curse for us. But how many knows it's in him? And when I'm in him, I abide in him, and I do what he says. I do what he instructs me to do, and my life is lived to please him. But if not, I can still walk in the curse. Why? Because there's a real devil out there. But he says there, I'm not done with that, the sufferings. Now, what is the sufferings? When you go back and you study the Bible and you read the life of Jesus and the thing, everything Jesus took on him, that was an exchange for us, just like the Bible says that he bore, Isaiah 53, then you go over there to, First or Second Peter 2:20, somewhere around in there, that it talks about how he bore all of our sicknesses, carried our diseases, the chastisement of our peace, you know, was put on him, all these things. Therefore, I don't have to suffer disturbedness. I get to enjoy quietness of soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions. I get to experience the peace of God. Jesus told us, he said, the world don't give you peace. He said, but I give you peace, my peace, not as the world gives, right? So we can have the peace of God on the inside because Jesus bore that for us. Well, then poverty and lack. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, somewhere around in there, it talks about how Jesus himself took upon poverty that we might be made rich. Thank you, Cindy. I mean, I'm telling you, you say that word in church and people go, why you do that? How many in here y'all go to work every day? Or maybe not every day. 1, 2, 3. Come on now, Stacy. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's quite a few of y'all. What y'all do that for? Do you know you're sinning? Y'all didn't get it? I just told you, Jesus said he took upon himself poverty that we might be made rich. Now, you got broke people that are totally against God's people being rich, but yet they will go to work every day, work 80 hours a week, trying to get what they call that filthy lucre. Y'all not saying nothing, which is money. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. Money's neutral. It's in the hand of whoever it is. Money's neutral. You know, if you're greedy, well, then that's not going to be good. I'm not supposed to be greedy for filthy gain and stuff like that. But the Bible says, I believe it's 2 Timothy 6:17, he said, charge them that are rich in this world. I always say, that's me. Now, you might say, that's not me. Okay, let's bring this thing down here. Did you have the ability to eat breakfast this morning? Whether you ate it or not, but you had something to eat or had some money, you could buy it, right? Anybody in here, you did not. Y'all rich bunch of people. You go over to some other places, or even on the streets of Birmingham and different places, these people, they won't eat today, they didn't eat yesterday, and they did not eat the day before. You know what you are to them? Rich. But see, what we do is we put it on the level of the people we hang around, or those that are movie stars and singers. We ain't got as much as them. But see, it's who you're comparing yourself to. And you're not even going to stay, if you'll trust the Lord, where you are right now. You ain't as rich as what you're going to be. And listen, we know this and we teach this and understand this, but I got to say it again. And it's not all just for us to build bigger houses and fancier cars. Yes, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints, but he is against greediness. He's against covetousness. He's against wantonness, right? He says, whatever state we're in, be content. Not that you can't have a nicer house or a nicer car or nicer clothes. Listen, it looks good on God just like it looks good on you when your kids, when you get to Walmart and they ain't got on their pajamas and their hair's brushed. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all don't see them at Walmart. Go there at 2 o'clock in the daytime. The mom and the daddy's got their pajamas on, and I mean the hair. They're worse than yours and mine, D. It's just, the kids, it's just, it looks like it ain't been brushed in a week. You be honest now, what's the first thing you think? Oh, y'all not going to say it, are you? I'm thinking, good Lord, you should have brushed your nappy hair this morning. But none of my business, let me go on down the line. But that is my first thought, and I don't dwell on it, and I don't, but my point to all that is, when I look good, it looks good on God. Why? He's my Father. He takes care of me. He takes good care of me, he says. Just like you love your kids, you take care of your kids. You take good care of them. And when we see your kids, it reflects on you. Just like it reflects on God. So there's nothing wrong. God has no problem with people having things and being rich and all this stuff. But he goes on and he says, teach them that they be not high-minded. Don't let your money cause you to treat people ugly. Y'all not saying nothing. Or your stuff. If somebody messes up your stuff, don't let that cause you to treat people ugly. That's not right. That's not godly. Why? God can give you 10 more of whatever they just broke. And so when things happen, we're supposed to display the character of God, right? Well, there's nothing wrong with the prosperity, but don't be high-minded. Don't let it cause you to think that you're all up here and everybody else is down here on a different level. Well, the Bible says for us to be ready to distribute. What's that mean? I give to everybody that asks me? No. Number one, I can't furnish this entire world. I can't furnish half of Bluntsville all of what they need and want and all that. So I got to be led. Why? Because I got a part. He's got a part for me to do. He's got a part for Johnny and Samantha to do, a part for y'all to do, somebody for you to help, somebody for you to help. On down the line, ministries and different things like that. We cannot accomplish the will of God without having abundance of finances. Can't do it. Why? Because whatever we own, God owns it. See, God never intended for churches to be turned into bars. Y'all not saying nothing. But how many knows they have been, and they still are being today? What's that mean? It means it got took out of the hands of the control of God and put over into the hands of the devil and people that serve him. Now, y'all can say what you want to, but that's just as plain as I can say it. Or other things. But how many knows God fully intends for bars to become churches? Absolutely. See, whatever I have, if I've loved God and I serve God, I'm born again, it belongs to God. And therefore, he tells you whatever he wants done with it, and you're willing to distribute, you're willing to do that. And you know what? There's some people that talks about the rich young ruler, and they'll say, where Jesus, when he asked the question, you know, what must I do to be saved, you know, or inherit eternal life, I think is exactly the way he said it. And Jesus told him, you know, keep the commandments. He said, oh, man, I did these my entire life. I don't know about that, but anyway, that's what he said. And then the Bible says, and Jesus loved him. What's that mean? Jesus loves you so much, he's going to tell you exactly where your problem is. And the next words that Jesus told him, he says, okay, go. If you want eternal life, he says, go sell all you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Now, I honestly believe he might have could have been the disciple that took Judas's place. I can't prove that by scripture. That's just my opinion. Because somebody was going to do it. And we know later on they cast lots, and it was to what? Matthias or whatever his name was. But that's what he told him. Go sell all that you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Now, there's some preachers and teachers, they'll tell you, see, God don't want you having nothing. God don't want you having things. That's a lie. You interpret scripture in line with other scripture. What do you do over there with Luke 6:38 when he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. What do you do with that if we got to take a vow of poverty? This is not the way I expected this to go. Ooh, that's okay. Like I say, I just work here. It's good to me anyway. Because how many knows, even sometimes when you know something, you need it stirred up. You need it stirred up. So I know there's no way Jesus was wanting him to make a commitment to poverty. Because the Bible says he had great possessions. But he went away sad and sorrowful. That tells me he didn't have great possessions. Those possessions had his heart. And Jesus was trying to get him to get rid of the thing that had his heart, get rid of that, and take Jesus to his heart and follow him. Because he told the disciples later, you know, because they're astonished. Who can be saved then, you know, if no rich people can? And he goes on and he tells them, he says, look, ain't no man ever left mother, father, sister, brother, lands, houses, all this stuff. He says, for my sake and the gospel's, that they shall not receive a hundredfold return or reward in this life, here and now, and eternal life. So that was the answer to his question. But he couldn't do it. So God doesn't have a problem with us having things or having money, because he needs us to have it. Why? We got ministry to do. Do y'all know of, it's called GoNetSpeak now, in case y'all didn't know. It used to be Otelco. Y'all know they don't give us that free. Scotty didn't go up there and say, hey, man, would y'all come down here and put us in an internet modem and all this internet and everything and let us have it free, you know. By faith, we have it free, you know, because we got to do the ministry, the work of the ministry, you know. We need to reach people with the gospel. You know what they would have done? Left him right out of there. Why? They're not in it to get faith. They're not in it for anything other than to get their money. You're not saying nothing. Oh, here we go. That brings me to another thought that I just had. You got people, they will not go to church because they've been hurt. Y'all not saying nothing. They won't go to church because they got hurt when they was 10. Now listen to me, I understand. I've heard story after story. I mean, molestation, all kinds of stuff. I fully understand hurt, and what I'm saying does not minimize that hurt at all. But how many knows it's not God that done it? And how many knows us as God's people, we don't always do or say the right thing? But anyway, you got people, they won't go to church because they've been hurt, or they won't go to church because they got offended. But I'm telling you right now, they will go to Walmart, two Luckies, y'all not saying nothing, two bowling, to the lake. When last Sunday when you was there, y'all get that Sunday? Last Sunday when you was there, somebody sideswiped your boat, and there you are again this Sunday. Are you kidding me? Why is that? Because see, they don't see it's them getting anything out of attending church. But they see a reward when they go to the lake. So they can do away with that offense they had at Walmart when that one lady on purpose slammed her buggy into yours and their cart rode into your car and put a big dent. You're there again next week. Why is it God and church and his stuff is the only time that we can't not be offended? That we can't not walk in the love of God? Y'all not saying nothing. How many knows we can at any time? Anytime we choose to. But see, Walmart's going to give me my shampoo, my toilet paper, my pinto beans. Y'all not saying nothing. My pool stuff. See, that's one reason why I go there. It's just one-stop shopping. I ain't got time to go to 15 different stores. So it's just one-stop shopping. So I don't care. You offend me there, I'm going to get over it. I'll be right back again next week. You offend me at church, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to be right back here again next week. I've been here for 20-something years. And you better believe offenses have come. And there has been times that it was all I could do for the Lord to help me to overcome those. Just like some of you. How do we get from money to that? Because see, it's what that money gets you at Walmart. See, most people, they don't know the importance of assembling together with the body of Christ on a regular basis, like the Word says to do. There's so much more takes. Can you hear a good message preaching on TV? Yes, you can. Can you be blessed? Can you be strengthened? Can you be built up and edified? Yes, you can. But he didn't say, sit in your living room by your little self, tied to yourself. Y'all not saying nothing. Give offerings to your kids. Golly, Mom. and watch Jensen on TV. That should be like a vitamin to us. That's an add-on to us. And do you realize God did that for people they can't assemble? I mean, you got millions of people they can't. They're in nursing homes. They're in hospitals. They're in all different kinds of things. But yet God, in His mercy and His grace and His faithfulness, is faithful to get that word to them. But then we got Christians, they don't want to go assemble. Why? One, you got to take a bath and brush your teeth, or we hope you do. Yeah, I hope I do, right? I'll be up here talking, you can just see it, green fog. That would be bad. Made me think of the cartoons on Pepe Le Pew. You know, he's the skunk after the cat. They don't realize he's a skunk. But anyway, I don't know how all that got to that other than the money deal. Money is a very, very big thing that we have to watch as Christians. Why? Everything you want nearly is tied to it. Everything that you need, water. You don't pay your water bill. They ain't going to bring no Dasani up there. No. Ain't going to bring you no Blue up there. No. You're going to be laying there on the carport with your tongue hanging out after 3 days because they don't care whether you had water or not. Pay your bill. So do you realize that's why you pay it? Yeah. Do you realize the things that happens to us in church, the testimonies that we hear, the testimonies that we can give that encourages other people, the words of the Lord that comes to us that they don't get out there on that internet? We don't tape this whole services from beginning to end. And you know what? Sometimes just seeing somebody and they smile at you makes you feel better. Yeah. And just being in a room with faith-filled people brings you up, makes you feel good, encourages you. Then if somebody, see, Jensen can't see you through your TV. He can't tell you got a sad countenance on your faith and it seems like all hell's coming against you. But Sandy can. Now, I can, but sometimes I forget. I don't pay attention. Sandy is Miss Compassionate. I mean, there's just oozing out of her. And how many knows that can be a gift from God? We're all to be compassionate. But there are some that they have a gift that they will be way more compassionate or merciful than others. Now, we're all called to compassion and mercy. That's just like Scotty. Scotty, we're all called to be wealthy, to be rich. Say that with me. I'm rich. Every one of y'all say that. Y'all sure you did? But then you got Scotty on the other hand. He also has an anointing on him for finances to teach God's people how to get finances, how to prosper. I don't have that. Now, can I teach you some of God's ways about financial prosperity? Yes, I can. But I don't carry that anointing like what he does. Why? That's not part of my calling. Mine is other things. Yours may be some of the same things and other things. But let's go on here. The sufferings, he says. I am not to suffer poverty and lack. And let me tell you, everybody starts wherever you are. If you're rich, you're going to start out being rich already. If you're so broke you can't even seem to pay attention, you're going to start right there. But it better get in your heart by the word of God and coming out of your mouth and meditation going in your head while you get that seed planted in there. Ain't that what we've been talking about? That you plant the word of God that it says over there, Luke 6:38. See, we was at a service one time. We had nothing when we come to the Lord, hardly. I mean, we was doing a little bit better. I mean, we had somewhere to live and something to drive, but we owed on everything. I mean, couldn't buy sufficient groceries and different stuff. Lights being cut off every other month. You know, different stuff like that, you know. We was sitting in a service, and I don't know if we'd even been saved a year yet or not. Anyway, a visiting preacher, most of y'all have heard this story, comes, and we had $2 to our name, needed some loaf bread, you know, and different stuff. Scotty, excuse me, for work and all that. Anyway, we're sending that service, you know, how they do. They're going to take up the offering, so they say something, and then they pray, you know. Well, during prayer time of the offering, God spoke to my heart, and he spoke to Scotty's heart at the same time. And he said, I want you to give that $2. I don't know what I thought $2 was going to do, Sandy. I don't know what great deliverance I thought $2 was going to do. But how many knows, God, if the minister is believing God for something, God's obligated to meet that need. How's he going to do it? He ain't got no counterfeiting press in heaven. He does it through people. So God speaks to me and Scotty both to give that last $2 that we got. Now, Travis, he's about 2-3 years old, somewhere in there, around in there. And we spoke to each other after prayer, and I said, I think God wants us to give it that
Jesus Christ. I think he does too. Do you know we didn't do it because we were scared?
But how many knows I have growed and I have learned? And God wanted to take that $2 to help that minister's need for whatever it is that God is obligated, he's believing for. But God wasn't trying to take $2 from me. God was trying to bless me. Do you know what a hundredfold on $2 is? What is that? Is it $200? Oh, I would have jumped up and down. I go from $2 to $200. If I'd have just got the 30 or 60, it would have been a bit better than the $2 that I had. But do you see what I'm talking about? Because we felt we needed that money. We didn't need that money. We needed to give that money, but we didn't know the things that I'm telling you this morning and that the majority of you guys already know. And y'all, most of y'all probably all are great givers. Tithers, great givers. You give into this ministry. You give into other ministries. You give to people in here. You give to people out there. Scotty may be going to tell y'all this, but I'm up here first, so. I might be in trouble when I get home, but hey, what's the consequences? If I enjoy it now, my brother used to have this saying, you know, you want to get in a little, have a little fun and get in trouble, or you want to have a lot of fun and get in trouble. Well, my brother's thinking, and you know where he is we will have a lot of fun and get in trouble. I guess that's what I'm doing. Anyway, y'all know we took up, excuse me, an offering for Brother Adedola. You know the story that he told about the church and all they've been through with that and everything, and the $8,000 that they needed. Well, God led Scotty, you know, to sow a significant seed out of the church and out of his business, and then all of y'all who ever gave into that and everything, he called him, I don't know what, an hour or two later after service, somewhere like that. Or no, didn't call you, texted you, didn't he? Yeah, he texted him, and he told him, he said, Brother, I'm amazed. He said, and thank you and your church. He said, that need has been met from this church. See what I'm talking about? We got to have money. And not got to have money just for us. We got to have money for God. We got to have money for saved people. We got to have money for lost people. We got to have money for ministries. But he's out of that $8,000 need was met when he came to this place. So, oh, y'all sowed your seed in faith, didn't you? Oh, I could have sowed my $2 and got $200. Whatever y'all sow, you believe God for the increase. Why? Because he says to, right? Some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Doesn't matter if it's a spiritual thing or if it's finances. Now, the sufferings that he's talking about, we don't supposed to suffer poverty and lack. Get that in your spirit today. This is not what I'm called to. I'm called to the blessing. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord. Now, the day you made Jesus Lord of your life, you got born again, that blessing came in you and upon you. And it says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh to poverty. Sure, it says rich. Nah, that's got to be spiritually. Oh, it maketh rich, and what's it going to say? And it addeth no sorrow. And the Amplified Bible says, and toiling doesn't increase it. What's that mean? Taking extra hours don't increase the blessing. Taking a second or third job doesn't increase the blessing. You know what increases the blessing? The more you follow him. The more you... Why? Because the blessing is on the life of Christ that is in us. And when we follow him and we yield and we're led by that life, the Spirit of God inside, the blessing's already on that. But the Bible says that the blessing is an empowerment to have good success to prosper in every area of life. The Bible says he's already given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that's here and there, and godliness, right? He has blessed us, the Bible says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? So we know it's God's will that we be blessed in every area, have more than enough peace, more than enough joy, more than enough money. How are you going to be a blessing to somebody else if you ain't got nothing? Now, you can pray for somebody. I mean, if you know how to pray in faith, everybody don't. I mean, if they need prayer, well, you can be a blessing in prayer. But if they need their light bill paid, how many knows if you got finances, you can pay their light bill, and that's a blessing to them. And then later on, they can do something for somebody else. Plus, it's a testimony when they was believing God, and they stand up in their church, and they give the testimony, I was believing God for this amount, and sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, God spoke to them, and that need has been met. Thank you, Lord. Do you know the Bible says that in, what is it, 2 Corinthians 9? It talks about our giving, how if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But you keep on reading that, in the end of that part, he goes on and he says that many thanksgiving abounds to God for his abundant gift that you guys are sending. Right? Y'all remember that? So we don't supposed to suffer poverty and lack. We don't supposed to suffer sickness and disease. Anything that Jesus, the Bible says whenever that Jesus took upon himself, all that stuff upon himself. The Bible talks about the stripes that wounded him, right? Y'all remember that, right? On the whipping post. The blood that was shed over there in the Garden of Gethsemane that came out of his pores, the Bible talks about. Then you got him on the tree when he's hanging on the cross and he's pierced through the side and blood and water came out. All this stuff was an exchange for me and you. Our sin for his righteousness. Our poverty and lack for his blessing and abundance. Amen? So everything he bore, I don't have to. Or put it this way, everything he suffered that was an exchange for me, I don't supposed to. Sickness and disease, poverty and lack, all this kind of stuff. I don't. Deliverance, being in bondage to things. Y'all not saying nothing. You know, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, that was just, I guess that was a me thought. We'll let that one go and move on. But all the suffering, how many knows Jesus did suffer and we're called to suffering? That's why I'm spending some time on this. Because we need to know what we're called to suffer and what we have been redeemed from suffering. So everything that was under that curse, according to Galatians and other places, we have been redeemed from it. We are not supposed to suffer those things, right? But notice what he says here. Verse 3, Amplified. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing, see, this is why you can rejoice, because you know something. That pressure, oh, y'all not saying nothing. Ooh, that's almost a daily occurrence. Pressure. And affliction. Now, this is not affliction like what we were talking about. I'm being afflicted with sickness and disease. You go look it up for yourself. It's a different kind of affliction. It means trouble and all that. And hardship. The Bible says over there in Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? You are called to hardship. See, so all of this stuff, you know, about when you're trying your best to serve the Lord and you're reading your Bible and going and doing all the things that you feel you're supposed to be doing and you got hell coming against you and you got pressure on you and affliction and persecution and people and all that. He says, say, woohoo! Glory to God. Y'all know that's what they did in the book of Acts. The Bible says whenever they come out there, they locked up Peter and John and told them, don't preach no more in this name. Y'all remember the story, right? We ain't got to go read it. And told them, don't preach no more in this name. They said, we can't help but do that. Now, you're going to have to decide for yourself, but we got to do it. Well, then they go back and they tell the other disciples and all of the people that had been born again that was all there together in that place what had happened. The Bible says they rejoiced and they prayed, not that God would move the persecution, but that he would show himself real through them. And when they got through praying, the Bible says the place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They counted it joy, Sandy, that they would be even chosen to suffer for Jesus. We don't do that most of the time. That's why we got to have mind renewal. Because, see, if ain't nothing coming against you, ain't nobody persecuting you, you got plenty of money and your life is just woohoo most of the time, you better check yourself. The devil don't bother too much those that he owns or that he has a puppet on a string like what I talked to y'all about myself last week. No. Only thing he had to do to me was just put somebody in front of me or a situation or something where I would feel any kind of uncomfortableness and here we go. Ah! Puppet on a string. And that is so miserable. But he talks about there He says, affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. You won't be running off in the ditch over here. You won't be running off in the ditch over there. You stay straight in your lane, straight there, enduring. Patiently enduring. Listen, and patience is not just waiting. That's what the world thinks patience is. That's not Bible patience. Bible patience is you stay in a giving place with a joyful, cheerful attitude. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. Say, this didn't happen, but anyway. To me, I'm at Walmart. Long line, new cashier, registers out of tape, all this mess. When I finally get up there, all this stuff happens, or it happens to the person in front of me. And I'm going, Lord, people, don't you know I got somewhere to be, I got stuff to do. Ain't everybody at Walmart? They usually don't spend all day in there just because they want to hang out. They usually got somewhere else they need to be or could be or want to be. So you ain't nothing special. Y'all not saying nothing. But when you stand there and you got the peace of God on the inside and you say on the inside of you, God, if it takes all day, I'm just going to rejoice and be happy. Maybe, how many knows that you might not be waiting there just for you? How you know you ain't waiting for somebody to come in line behind you that's believing God to pay for the stuff they got because they ain't got enough, but God told them, go get it. Y'all not saying nothing. Or how you know you ain't waiting on somebody because the cashier's people's give them a hard time all day long. But when you step up there, God steps up there. And they're Christians. And they're so discouraged. And they feel like they can't do this job. And they got 3 kids at home. And their husband is left. Y'all not saying nothing. And their husband has left them. And they can't do without this job, they think. But God. How many knows you got to go through some stuff? You got to be willing to go through some stuff with a joyful, cheerful attitude. Now listen to me. I have come a long ways. My face, I know y'all can tell. My face, I don't care what it is, I cannot hide it, D. You look at Johnny, unless he smiles, his face is just always the same. There's some people like that. Stacy's like that. Look at her. She's just looking at her face is just always the same. There's been other people that's come here before. I don't care what. It don't matter. If they're happy, it's just the same. If they're sad, it's just the same. I'm not blessed like that. Usually whatever, and sometimes the opposite, but usually whatever I feel, it shows up right here. You can see it. Scotty says my lip looks like Elvis. He says, I go, whatever he does over there, you know. He said, in your eyes. And you look at me, I know what you're saying with them eyes, you know. So my face, I can't hide it. Some people can. But how many knows when you get up there to that register? Because, see, you don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know. And what if they're lost and they're going through all of this? And God is dealing with them. And you are the one that God sends to be the final one that says, hey, I got something good over here. I got something better. If you really believe Jesus is the best thing ever happened to you, why would you not want to tell? I don't know about y'all, Scotty. Y'all know he's a salesman, you know, because he does garage doors. It's like he has an anointing for it, too. My stepdad told him, said, you could sell an igloo to an Eskimo, you know, which I think they use those, don't they? But anyway, you know, one time, Scotty, I don't remember the name of that water, but anyway, it had like, it was water, bottled water, but it had like flavor, peach flavor or grape, infused in the water, you know, really good. They don't even sell that no more, I don't think. But anyway, you know, we got some of that, and we like, everybody we come in contact with, he is telling them about this water to the point of, give me some of that water. Let me taste that water. Mmm. Woo! You was right. That's the best water I ever tasted. Now me, I'm totally opposite. I'd be like, hey, I got some good water here. You want to drink? I don't know. Well, you don't need none, no way. Keep it all to myself. But my point to all that is, God needs us. But see, I tell you what, we are called to suffer because I'm going to have to stop. Johnny brought up last week about his boss doing what'd you say? Talking a little down on you or something? What you said, you know, that means not too good or favorable or whatever, you know. You're called to suffer that. I got scripture for it. God, y'all, Sandy, you didn't even say nothing on that one. I need some help in here. Y'all read your Bible, don't you? See, we're called to suffer persecution. And what was the scripture we read last week? He says, blessed. Y'all don't want to be blessed, do you? Really? Then they're going to talk about you. They're going to call you out your name. They're going to curse your mama and everybody else. And you can't be slapping them around. Can't be laying no hands on them. I know what kind of hands you want to lay. Not them kind. We lay them in healing. Not we'll hurt you and heal you later. I got to stop because time is up.